You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880. The following message was presented by Dr. Wallace Schultz on the Lutheran Hour. Its title, The Foundation of Faith. Now here is Dr. Schultz.
9 years ago, visitors to a small village in Ireland raised a ruckus among Irish university professors. They also kicked off an avalanche of pilgrims heading toward a local religious shrine. The rumor was floating around. A large concrete religious statue weighing over 300 pounds, located near a hillside grotto, allegedly had suddenly begun to move its hands and act very much alive. Within 2 weeks, over 100,000 people swarmed to the site, hoping to get a glimpse of this miraculous event. Now, those who read newspapers regularly know that sensational events such as this moving religious statue in Ireland are not unique. Similar claims of similar events have occurred increasingly in the United States and Canada in recent years. In Los Angeles, for example, thousands of people flocked to the home of a lady in a quiet suburb. The rumor was that a crucifixion cross of Christ had suddenly appeared on the wall of this lady's home. And so great was the interest in seeing this mysterious cross that the normally quiet streets of this small suburb were suddenly experiencing bumper-to-bumper traffic. Time magazine in September 1986 devoted nearly two full pages to report an alleged similar sighting of Jesus as he was silhouetted on the side of a large soybean oil storage tank. A local newspaper quickly ran the headline, Image of Christ Reported West of Town. By the thousands, people from all over Ohio and other states began to gather, hoping to see the mystery vision. In 1979, Canadian newspapers carried the story of a British Columbia woman who claimed that the image of the devil had suddenly appeared on the headboard of her bed. In 1983, religious pilgrims and curious onlookers flocked to the Southside San Antonio home in order to see the image of the Virgin Mary caused by the reflection of sunlight from the bumper of a 1975 Chevy. These, my friends, are only a few of the scores of newspaper and television reports in recent years of people who claim to have seen visions of Jesus or Mary or some other religious symbol. These claims are indeed very interesting, but the response of the curious onlookers and the pilgrims is even more astounding. In one situation, a local policeman said, the response of curious onlookers from near and far to these sensationalized religious visions was like pouring gasoline onto an open fire. As soon as the miraculous religious event was announced, the size of the crowd flared up instantaneously. In every century and in every generation, people have always swarmed to see sensational religious events. And sad to say, often even those who claim to be convinced of the promises of God and those who claim to walk by faith and not by sight, even they continued to be tempted to try to take a peek. There is no need for this. God's promises are always true, and yet our human nature is so weak that we desire, yes, we even often demand confirmation of God's promises by our senses, our eyes, our ears, and our touch. In our text for today, however, Jesus sternly warns all those who seek or even demand special signs in addition to the divine revelation. God has already given us the greatest and most faith-compelling revelation in the birth, the death, and the resurrection of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. No more evidence is needed. This gracious warning of God against seeking and even demanding special signs and wonders so as to prove the promises of God is most powerfully given in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 12. On this particular day, the Pharisees had verbally attacked Jesus. They said that Jesus was working in cooperation with the devil. Jesus rebuked these enemies of the gospel. These Pharisees then demanded that Jesus provide them with a sign to show that he was indeed the Son of God. And on this issue, Jesus absolutely refused. Let me read this historical event directly from the Bible. The Pharisees said to Jesus, "We want to see a sign from you." Jesus, however, said to them, "It is an evil and adulterous generation that craves for a sign. No sign will be given," Jesus said, "except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For just as Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and three nights, so will the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth for 3 days and three nights." Then Jesus further explained, "The men of Nineveh in Jonah's day will stand up with this generation in judgment and condemn it. For the people of Nineveh did repent when Jonah preached to them. And you have more than Jonah's preaching with you now." Jesus was simply telling the Pharisees, these detractors, that centuries earlier the people of Jonah's day had repented even though they had never seen the Messiah. Now, however, these Pharisees refused to repent and to believe even though Jesus was preaching and doing miracles among them day after day. They had no excuse. Their obstinate unbelief would soon bring upon them their own judgment. These enemies of Jesus were demanding a sign in order to trick or to discredit or even destroy Jesus. And while their motives may have been different from our 20th century, the demand for a sign from many people even today is still the same. Have you never heard anybody say, "If you want me to believe, then give me convincing evidence, and then I will believe"? Or they say, "It is your job to convince me, and if you do not convince me, I will not believe. Give me a sign," they say. "Give me some evidence that God exists, that God is alive, and that there is a heaven, and that there is a hell." And in response to this type of 20th century refusal of faith, God says the same thing he told the people in Jesus' day. "No additional sign will be given to anyone. I have revealed myself in Jesus Christ," God says, "and there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Jesus himself made the Heavenly Father's words clear when he said, "He who believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned." And most important, God is saying to all of us today, "I have revealed myself, and I now freely offer you a new life with eternal hope through the resurrection of my only Son, Jesus Christ." Therefore, my friends, instead of insisting today on signs and instead of demanding more evidence, let us with humble hearts and a ready faith embrace and ever hold fast unto the Lord Jesus Christ, the crucified Christ, the greatest and highest of God's revelations. With this immovable foundation of faith, you can then say with the Apostle Paul that you do indeed know the Lord Jesus Christ and the power of his resurrection. Living a life of faith instead of daily doting on doubt will then also enable you, even in your most difficult days, to join the eternal victory cry of the Old Testament prophet Job, who said, "For I know that my Redeemer lives and that he shall stand at the last day upon this earth. And even though the skin worms will destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, and him will I behold, and yet not another." This resurrection hope is not an illusion of the illiterate or a passing notion of the naive. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is an event as historical as the discovery of dynamite and the landing of a man on the moon. The resurrection of Jesus Christ, my friend, was neither accidental nor incidental. Many, many months before his crucifixion, Jesus Christ clearly foretold what the prophets had centuries earlier prophesied. Many months before his crucifixion, the Bible says, Jesus began to show to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and that he must suffer many things from the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and then be killed and then be raised again on the third day from the dead. Oh, what Jesus said would happen is exactly what happened. And so at this very moment, when you by faith turn away from your sin and unbelief and doubt, And when you fix your faith on Jesus the Christ, and the very hour that your heart rests securely and surely on the sin-cleansing blood of the Lord Jesus, then you are 100% assured that Jesus is speaking intimately to your heart when he says, "For this is the will of my Father, that everyone, yes, everyone who beholds the Son and believes in him, in Jesus, may have eternal life. And I myself," Jesus said, "will raise him up on the last day." Jesus will then also say to you, as he did to Martha, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, he shall live, even if he dies." And so today, as we discuss the doctrine of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, let us always be mindful that this watershed teaching, based on the most important event in history, this event has also always caused controversy, even in religious circles. In Jesus' day, the scribes and the Pharisees were bitterly divided on this issue. In the Bible, Acts chapter 23, we read, "The Sadducees say there is no resurrection, nor an angel, nor a spirit. But the Pharisees acknowledge them all." In Acts chapter 4, we read that the religious leaders, the Sadducees, were greatly disturbed and even angry because the apostles Peter and John were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. This controversy over the resurrection continues to smolder in the 20th century. Several years ago, the secular British magazine, The Economist, in the section called Books and the Arts, carried a review of recent publications dealing with Jesus. This secular magazine then observed this. "In the end," they said, "Christianity must not be seen as a smorgasbord of comforting opinions, because Christianity makes extraordinary claims, and its adherents are obliged at least to come to terms with them. And among these," the magazine said, "the most crucial claim is the doctrine of the resurrection of Jesus Christ." Now, my friends, coming from a secular publication, this was well spoken. One issue later, however, in a letter to the editor, a decidedly non-Christian writer wrote, "It is plain as day," he said, "that the resurrection and associated stories do not represent reality. There is little to be gained," he said, "in this age of reason by perpetrating them. Of course, we disagree in an age of economic uncertainty and in an era of military instability and in a time of religious confusion. The only unchanging and eternal hope in the whole world is the resurrection of Jesus Christ." St. Paul said it correctly. Jesus was crucified on the cross for our offenses, for our sins, and then he was raised again for our justification, so that you and I and all believers may have a solid faith in God and the joy of knowing for certain that there is a place for us in heaven. For your sin and mine, Jesus died on the cross, and to ensure that you and I need never be forever destroyed, Jesus rose again from the dead. So then, my friend, from this hour forward, let the firm foundation of your faith rest solidly upon the reliable rock of the resurrection of Jesus. Leave your doubts behind you. By faith, embrace and ever hold fast unto Jesus, the crucified and resurrected Christ. For then you will truly be able to say with the Apostle Paul, "Now I know Christ and the power of his resurrection." And then, even in your most difficult days, God will empower you also to say with courage and conviction those words from the Bible, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Oh Lord, we pray today, grant this faith, this conviction, and this blessed assurance unto all who are listening at this hour. Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed this message brought to you by Lutheran Hour Ministries.